Good morning. Welcome. Hope everyone having a great day today and doing things a little differently today. It's kind of interesting. But with weather conditions as they were, we didn't want to put anyone in danger. So we're going to do it here online and hope that you're touched by this message today. But we're following through. We're continuing the series on a light in the darkness. And as I studied this week and started looking at things, I started thinking about a faith, how our faith, you know, last week we talked about what depression and the dark days that we come across and all of those things are. And as we look at that, I got to thinking about faith and how the faith that we have, you know, what kind of faith does it take to accomplish God's plan? I mentioned Mary last week, and I talked about how Mary had, you know, probably gone through some of those dark days, and she struggled a little bit because you're trying to accomplish a plan. You've been called to be the Savior's mother, and you're having a baby in a stable, and it's got to be a little disappointing because you want to provide the right opportunity. But as we open up the Word today, you know, I want to look at something today and really break it down. But Christ's birth is something we'll all celebrate in a couple of weeks. And as we look at that, I wanted to take the opportunity here to look at some scripture in Luke chapter 1. Let's start with Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. I'm going to read them real quickly for you today. Now in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, and the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. You know, as we look at this today, I want to talk about this kind of faith that accomplishes God's plans. Faith that we can be assured in. Faith that we can rest assured in. You know, throughout church history, Mary, the mother of Jesus, has not been given her proper place. And I want to talk about this today. Now, I'm not, I don't want anyone to get me wrong on this. What I'm saying is that there are some who make her divine and take away her human nature. And to be honest with you, I think it belittles her great accomplishment. I think that it really destroys the view of Mary that we really need to have. And then as a reaction, some have overlooked her completely. I don't think that we as the church need to overlook her either. So I want to talk about this today. We shouldn't criticize or insult Mary. Her being worshipped and made an idol was not in any way her fault. It's not something that has been caused by Mary herself. She didn't ask for that. It's something that happened within, you know, certain bodies and different things happen. I mean, you know, that's like blaming one of us, blaming each other for the problem that someone else has caused by their view of you. Just because someone views you in a specific way doesn't mean you are that person. And Mary should not be criticized or insulted because of what others have chosen to see or do about her. You know, God chose her for a great and significant event in redemption, in our redemption. He chose her for a significant event in the history, and that is the birth of our Lord Jesus, the birth of Christ. And despite the fears and struggles, Mary successfully accomplished this special calling that God placed on her life. You know, Mary was humble, and she had a faith that God could do something great. And we talked about this last year a little bit, but I want to look at it in a different light today. If we're coming off of this these dark days, the despair, the distractions, the disappointment, the depression that keeps us from seeing this light that is Christ that will come into the world. And this week, I want to just look at this. I'm not going to attempt to explain why Mary was chosen for this work, but rather, I just simply want to share with you, you know, why it could be Mary. Why Mary could be the one that was chosen. I want to draw your attention to her faith. And I want to talk about this faith that brings forth the accomplishment of God's plan, because it's a faith that we are called to experience also. As Christians, that's what we should do. And first and foremost, the first thing I see in this today is that the faith Mary has and the faith that we should have is a faith that responds to the blessings that God brings humbly. A faith that is humble. God takes the initiative. He sends the messenger, and he calls Mary to this circumstance. And when Gabriel shows up to Mary, he says to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed are you among women." And the reality is that we do learn from the words that are said in verse 30 that Mary's initial reaction must have been fear, because the angel's response to her reaction is, "Do not be afraid." But why would Mary be afraid? Well, being a virgin, she's not been with a man. And in that time, and as was the culture, and, you know, she was afraid of maybe the view that others would take. You know, he's come to her and he tells her, you know, "The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." He's not even gotten to the news yet, so I don't know that that could necessarily be the explanation. Now, as it continues on, I do think that that does become part of the circumstance, is that there's the possibility, you know, but when she saw him, her first question in her mind was, "What kind of greeting is this?" You know, she was trying to figure out what he was saying. The fear that Mary had in this moment is one of surprise. An angel of the Lord has come to you and said, "You're highly favored by God." You know, one of the things that I think we can look at today is that, you know, unfortunately, these are the words that have caused some to raise Mary to a higher standard than what she truly was. Mary herself would not have wanted to be worshipped as she is in many ways. You know, here's the thing. She's full of favor, yes. Her response was, you know, the teachings that go along with this high view of Mary is that, you know, she's been found full of favor, and that she will be able to confer the favor, and she will be a fountain to dispense grace. Mary is likely agitated by the words because she feels that such a greeting is not suited to her. It's honestly, I don't think that Mary is in this. I don't feel that she feels worthy. You know, her feeling of unsuitability is not due to her divine election by God necessarily, But just the fact that the way she was greeted, you have found favor with God. Mary was a good Christian girl. Now, she didn't know she was, you know, she followed God. She sought the favor of God. But to feel the favor of God is another thing altogether. And when we come to those moments in our lives, how many of us today can truly say, well, I know God's favor is upon me. I know I struggle many times with that. When someone comes to pay a compliment, we can look at it this way. When someone pays you a compliment, how do you respond? When someone pays you a compliment that you feel you don't deserve, how do you respond? When someone comes to you and they say something in front of a group of people about how wonderful or how great you may be, how do you respond? Because you know yourself. I can think of moments in my life where someone has introduced me with words that were far beyond any worth in my life. I didn't feel worthy of the things that were said. There's been times where even here at the church that I know Joe has made comments or statements that I've not felt worthy of. You know, that's just one example of many. But as we look at this and we think about this misinterpretation, you know, yes, she's highly favored. But we need to reject this idea that Mary needs to be worshipped because of who she is. You know, and one of the things that I think helps us do that, the original Greek language of this verse does not have this meaning of full of grace necessarily. It is highly favored. You know, you are highly favored. You have found favor with God. You know. And that is something that Mary truly had to undertake. Second is that the Lord is with you is a further indication that she is just a vessel to receive, just like the rest of us. The Lord is with you is a statement we all want to be able to make about our lives, that he is with us, that he is living through us. She never wanted to be someone who this favor was conferred upon, but yet Mary was obedient. And see, here's the thing. What we need to understand today, she's perplexed and very troubled by the fact that the angel of God is standing before her and saying, you have found favor with God. You are highly favored and he is with you. Because she realized her unworthiness. She realized that she wasn't anything more than just a servant of God. She wanted to serve him. You can even see that. Even in verse 38, when we get to the end of that section, and it says, Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Behold, the servant of Lord. Not behold, this highly favored. She didn't throw that grace upon herself in that moment. She didn't say, I will be favored. No, she said, behold, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. What would happen in our lives if we reacted that way today? We'll get back to that. But what would happen in our lives? You know, the reality of it is that this is an application. This is something that we can apply to our lives. This is something that we can apply. This attitude is one that we should all have toward the grace of God. The psalmist in Psalm 8:4 says, what man that you ought take thought of? What is man that you ought to take thought of him, the son of man, that thou dost care for him? You know, we need to have that realization about our own lives today. What is man that God should take any thought of us? What is so great about us that God should take any thought about who we are? We should come to a realization today, an acceptance, a fear that we'll not be able to accomplish the Lord's plan. We'll not be able to glorify his name. The fear tells us that we can't do those things. But see, here's the answer to the fear. And it had already been given. Before she was told not to be afraid, the answer to the fear was already given to her. It is the Lord is with you. And it's still true for you and I today. is still true for us today, friends. In order that the Lord may be with us all the time, we must have that fear and humility in our lives. Because when we don't fear the circumstance, we don't trust the Lord's favor. When we don't fear the difficult circumstances, we don't trust that the Lord is with us. But when we find ourselves in the moment where God is asking us to do something and we know He is with us, when we approach Him with fear and trembling, when we approach the circumstance in awe and reverence, when we fear the Lord, He is with us and He is working in us. And we hear that still small voice that says, do not be afraid. I realize I've called you to do something that may be a little scary for you. I realize I've asked you to step outside your comfort zone. Don't be afraid. You know, the thing is what we see in this, we see a faith that responds to God's blessings with humility. And if we respond humbly, if we respond in this way, what we can understand is this. God chose Mary for one of the most important acts of obedience that He has ever asked of anyone. God chose Mary to do something great for His kingdom. Because what God asked Mary to do was bear the world His Son. And the circumstances didn't all line up exactly how Mary thought they should. Mary probably didn't have that plan for her life before that dream came. But Mary, being the servant she was willing to do it. You know, if you feel that your ability or that, you know, your experience or your education, again, we come back to a statement I've made many times. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. When He needs you for a circumstance or for a situation in life, He will call you and He will qualify you. And we can answer as Mary did. Let it be to me, just as you have said. The second thing we see in this faith that I'm talking about today is this, a faith that looks for more instruction from God. Verses 30 through 34 give us that. Because Mary, she's asking questions, you know, she's told to fear not. She's told to not be afraid. Because she doesn't need to fear the circumstance. Because God regards her and treats her as a special object of His favor. She doesn't need to be afraid. And then she's told what God is wanting to do. Do not be afraid, you found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call His name Jesus. You know, the Hebrew name Jesus means the Lord is salvation. So, you know, we can look at that today. We can see that today. But the Lord is salvation. And we are told here His name will be Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. Meaning He is coming through the line of David, which is the prophecy of the Messiah. The Lord will give Him the throne of His father David. Obviously, at this point, what we realize, Mary is beginning to realize she is being called for a great task. How many times have you ever felt like that task on you is so great that you just are overwhelmed in that moment? Because I can tell you, it happens. This is so overwhelming and so difficult that I'm going to tell you, Mary doesn't maybe necessarily get exactly what is taking place. But what we see is that Mary is being asked to bear the Son of God. He will be the Savior. This announcement to Mary had to be one that invoked a scary situation for her. She's young. She's not married. And now she's being told that she will bear the Son of God. It's a difficult thing. You know, And the reality is the question that she asks is, how shall this be, seeing as I know not a man? These words do not necessarily express doubt, but she's pretty well just simply asking a question that maybe we all would ask. I've not been with anybody. I'm a virgin. How can I have a baby? I don't know that Mary's asking a question of doubt here. I think she's just thinking naturally. I think she's literally just thinking. It's almost like Paul's question in saying, what shall I do, Lord, after his conversion in Acts 22? You know, our faith in the Lord may have to grow into maturity in order that we do exactly what the Lord wills us to do and be. You know, the instructions from God demands action. It demands, you know, commitment and dedication on our part to what God says. It demands us to follow through. So when Mary is asking this question, she's submissive to God, but she's kind of confused as to how this can take place without the proper things taking place. But yet she submits. You know, she's looking for further instructions. She's looking for an answer, not necessarily in doubt, but and the reason I say that, I don't think she's doubting God at this moment. God has just passed the word to her. She's going to have his son. I think she's asking for instructions, because at the end of this, she says, you know, she's told nothing is impossible with God, and she answers, let it be to me according to your word. Mary had bought in. Once she realized that it was God asking, Mary bought in. And that brings me to the third thing about this faith, is that it's a faith that totally submits to the will of God. In the reply to Mary's question, there's this answer of which she's basically told, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will become pregnant. And at this point, the plan of God becomes extremely clear to her. Mary now comprehends that as a virgin, unmarried, but engaged to Joseph, she will conceive a son of the Holy Spirit before the marriage. The possibility of this event is further justified by the miracle that occurred in the pregnancy of her cousin Elizabeth. And you see that story take place here, that not only is she being told that she is with son, she's also being told that her cousin, who was deemed barren, who could not have a child, was 6 months pregnant. And then told that with God, nothing will be impossible. Because God's plan is clear. His success is guaranteed. And whether God's plan for Mary will be accomplished or not really depends on Mary's response here. She can see now that if she submits to God, she'll face the risk of being divorced, being regarded as an adulterer, being regarded as something under Mosaic law. Understand this. She opens herself up to being stoned to death because of adultery. Under the Mosaic law, now, granted, these obstacles would have been taken care of and were taken care of by God. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, Mary perceived all of this, but they did not stand in the way of Mary fulfilling God's plan. Do you have a faith today that will fulfill the plan God has for you? No matter what obstacles may come up, no matter what difficulties might come your way, no matter what struggles and what troubles and what things the world will throw at you, do you have a faith today to accomplish God's plan? She was willing to submit to God and conceive this child by the Holy Spirit, and have a baby that would be the Son of God, and name him Jesus, and all of those things because of her faith in God. You know, if we really look at it and we think about it, we need to be very careful. In some regards, we idolize mothers, and in some places, we idolize our own mothers. We want to be who they were. We want to do what they did. And we idolize that motherhood. You know, we do need to give our mothers the respect they deserve. And we need to give Mary the respect she deserves. Now, had this been something that was taking place now. I mean, you know, there's a lot that could have happened. There were a lot of risks that Mary probably understood by this point in her life. But I'm going to tell you, it could be that Mary just needs the respect that she deserves, just as your mother does. Just as the mothers that we have in our lives deserve respect. We don't have to idolize them. We don't have to worship them. But we can say, you know, I love you. Thank you for all the sacrifices that you've made for me to have life. Thank you for allowing me to be here. But I'm sure that you would agree with me that submission is always accomplished with sacrifice. Probably the most important thing that I can say today is this. As Christians, we should be willing to accept God's will for us, no matter how costly it may be. None of us will be asked to face what Mary faced. I don't envision that at all. We may need to face something major, though. You know, there could be circumstances that might be misunderstood by others. Maybe you faced some of those things in life already. You know, it could cause us to suffer unjust reproach. It could cause us to be judged by others. Our responsibility is to obey God regardless of the consequences we're going to face on this earth. You know, it's the work of God that matters in our lives. It's the work that we can do for Him, for His kingdom. We should be willing to make any sacrifice required to carry this out. You know, the life of a mother of Jesus was simple and plain. She did the tasks that others did at her age, learning how to be a good homemaker for her future husband. There was nothing out of the ordinary about her life, at least nothing that we see in Scripture. There's nothing that we see other than the fact that God came to her and said, "Here, I need you to have this child." But it was her attitude, and it was the fact that she was a servant. And when the angel came, she served. She responded and said, "Let it be as you say. Let it be according to your word. Let it be that this happens." You know, the question is, how can it be? How can we respond to difficult situations? How can we respond to the difficult circumstances in our life? I mean, if we think about it, if we look at some of the things that happen overseas, and you think about some of the difficult times that people have, there are families in Middle Eastern countries who will disown their children if they say they are Christians. There are families throughout the world who will disown their children. You pretty much have to disown your family to become a follower of God. How can we respond to those difficult circumstances? We know how much we value family. We want to be accepted. How do we respond to this acceptance? The fact is we have to abandon the things that are holding us back from God's will in our lives. We have to abandon that old us. We have to abandon these things to the point where we have to give up some of the most difficult things we could probably ever have to give up. Mary gave up her innocence in some ways because she was a young virgin girl who was betrothed to be married. Now all of a sudden she's pregnant and she's got to deal with the law of God or the law of man. But she's been asked by God to do this. She had to abandon everything about what she knew to trust God to lead her. This can be our prayer today. You know, Mary's response to the angel shows us this. And the only way for us to have that same attitude is to believe that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect, which is what Romans 12:2 tells us. And we need to lay down our will and patiently submit to Him day after day. We need to lay our will down and never pick it up again. We need to make our will His will. Because when we lay that down and we allow him to work and his will to be accomplished, you know, our prayer can be the same as Mary's. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me just as you have promised. Because when you abandon yourself to God, you will never be abandoned by God. When you abandon yourself in faith, when you abandon the life that you have and sell out for the kingdom, you will never be abandoned by God. Her example shows us the value of trusting God, of having that trusting heart that accepts the mysterious ways of God in our lives and the presence of his mighty hand, no matter how perplexing, disturbing, and disruptive it might be. You know, the reality of it is that Mary's answer contained all that our Lord requires, the pure, simple submission of the soul, the pure, simple submission to his will. That is all that is required of us, is to submit. This was the secret of this love that Mary had. This was the secret to her life. She abandoned herself to God's will in that moment. And she received the grace to do what God had asked of her, both in the present and in the future, because this was a lifelong commitment she had to make. Because not only did Mary have to go through the troubles that came before her marriage, the birth, the struggles that came with raising the child, Mary also had to deal with the death on a cross. And when you're told that you are birthing the Messiah, she had to know that that day might come. Now, did she know she would be there to see it? I don't know. Did God reveal that to her throughout? We know that on the cross, Jesus made sure she was taken care of. But if you were Mary, how would you respond today? How would you respond knowing that your life will change forever? The promise of God for this sacrifice is not only an abundant life while living in the world, but it's also living as co-heirs with Christ in the kingdom of God. You realize that? So let's look at it this way today. As we think about Mary and the sacrifice that Mary had to make, I want to ask you this. What is God asking you to do? Is there something major in your life today? Something magnificent? Or maybe just something ordinary? What is God calling you to do? Are you responding actively to this command that he's laying out for you? Are you responding to his call by saying, let it be to me as you say. Let this happen the way you would will. Are we waiting patiently in this difficult time, knowing that these trials, these struggles, these circumstances will be worth it in the end? One of the hardest things I ever had to do is accept ministry as a calling on my life. And when I did, I find the blessings, but there are struggles. I can't stand up here and tell you they're not. There are struggles. I deal with difficult circumstances. Am I saying that to say that you should feel sorry for me? No. I'm saying it because it comes with the territory. When God calls you to do something the world's not going to understand, are you able to accept each moment with grace and submission? Can you respond to the Lord as Mary did by saying, let it be to me according to your word? Can you do to me what you say you will? Then do it. I hope that we learn this secret of allowing his will to be a delight in our lives. That, you know, we should be delighted in him. Welcoming whatever he gives us, welcoming the joy, the sorrow, the good, the bad, whatever it might be, allowing ourselves into that moment. To know God's will is a great treasure, and to do God's will is a privilege that we have. It's an opportunity to show others his love. We can do this today. You know, the thing is, we should respect Mary. We don't have to worship her or pray to her. She's not anything more than just a girl who was a servant. She never wanted to be idolized. She never wanted to raise herself among others. She just wanted to serve. In fact, the reality of it is, I think it's just the opposite about her raising herself up. I think she humbled herself to the point of full submission, so much so that she knew she might be viewed as an outcast. But she wanted to help follow the will of God. She realized that her relationship to the Lord was that of a handmaiden. And she just wanted to do whatever he asked. In fact, in Romans, we've talked about this. In Romans, it talks about a bondservant. That's almost the same mentality of what Mary responded in. We're all slaves to Christ. We're all slaves to the God who created us. And we have to submit it to either our self-centeredness or submit to God. We can't do both. We can talk about how great we are, or we can talk about how great he is. But it's really hard to talk about how great God is while you're pumping your own horn, while you're pumping yourself up. The resulting situation here is this. Mary had to submit. It was a prerequisite to the rest of the story. Had Mary said, no, I'm not going to do this, Christ wouldn't have been born of Mary. But Mary was submissive. She was willing to submit her will to God's will for her in order to be chosen by God and be a valuable tool to him. And he had probably seen this in other aspects of her life, which is why Mary was the one who was chosen. You know, God's plan for your life is unique. And he's seen the life you're living. He's seen the life you have. He's seen what you're good at. And he's got a call for you. And it deals with your strengths. It deals with what he deems to be the strongest aspect of who you are. For Mary, she was willing to submit. And God knew that. And he called to her and said, I need you to accomplish this task. What is he calling you today? We must clearly understand that God's choosing us for his work is a blessing. It is an opportunity filled with his grace and with his mercy. And even when we don't submit to God and we fail personally, God's plan does not fail. His plan never fails. He still has others that will accomplish his plan. But even without them or us to fulfill it, he will see it accomplished. You know, we fail God, but he never fails us. We fail on a daily basis many times, but he doesn't fail us. But if we follow the example of Mary, if we take a moment today and we step down from that high horse we're on and we follow Mary's example and we look into this a moment and we say this, you know, I'm nothing but a bondservant. I'm nothing but a handmaiden. I'm nothing but a servant of the God who created me and gave me life. But Lord, I'm just a servant of you. But let it be to me as you have said. Let it be to me as your word has spoken. Let it be to me according to your word today. He might give you an opportunity to win someone over. He might put you in an opportunity to speak to others about him. It could be that he's called you to raise a family. Or he's called you to a job. Or he's called you to a ministry, whatever it might be. Are you willing to step up and say today, let it be to me according to your word? Please make that decision today.